Herbert again. Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown.
Third down team in the league. Now it's third and 17. Another big rush from Gary. Trubisky lost the ball. It's scooped by Preston Smith, who takes it in for the Green Bay defensive touchdown.
Good morning, everybody. The Steelers make two trade deadline day acquisitions. Omar's coming. Con man. In Con we trust. All that fun stuff. He got it done. Do we like the moves? Do we dislike the moves? Do we like one, not the other? How do we feel? 412-928-9370. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. But my mom texts me and says Goldie died because my dad used too strong of a detergent to clean the tank.
Oh, man.
My dad accidentally poisoned a damn fish.
That's a shame.
Goldie had another, like, 8 to 13 years to live.
That's a shame.
Damn it, Mark! All right, back to the regularly scheduled programming here. Dora and I tweeted out yesterday before the Mike Williams trade that I thought this was going to look a lot like the Pirates. You want Jazz Chisholm, you want Brent Rooker, and you wind up with Brian De La Cruz, you wind up with IKF, and while you could make the argument that day that the Pirates were a better baseball team, you still were left wanting more. And when the Mike Williams trade happened, that's what I thought. It upgrades the Steelers, but does it catapult them into another realm? And the answer to the second part of that is, no, I don't think it catapults them into another realm, but I think Omar Khan did really well, and here's why. I'll make this quick so that we can have a dialogue. I'll give him a B+. I mean, Adam Thielen didn't get traded, so was he available? Darius Slayton didn't get traded. DK Metcalf didn't get traded. Jacoby Myers is still a Raider. Cooper Kupp didn't get traded. The Browns were never going to trade Amari Cooper to the Steelers, as we've talked about. Devontae Adams was always going to be a Jet. Deontay Johnson couldn't be a Steeler, nor would they have wanted him to come back. So, really, the options were quite limited for Omar Khan, and he got a big-time jump ball threat for a quarterback who throws the moon ball. So, hey, with what was available, I do think Omar Khan did quite well. B+.
There was no chance that Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to overpay for somebody. And there was no doubt in my mind that at the end of the day, if they were going to acquire one of the guys that you just named, like everybody I think was possibly not available, but you would take some phone calls on guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'll entertain, I guess that would be the word. I'll entertain what you have to offer, or will you entertain what we have to offer on the flip side? And I think at the end of the day that Omar Khan was like, I'm not giving you a fourth for Adam Thielen. I'm not giving you a fourth for Jacoby Myers. I'm not giving you a third or a fourth or even a fifth for Darius Slayton. You're going to do it. If we're going to do this, it's going to be on our terms. And he's kind of always kind of operated like that. So shame on me, really, for not thinking that Omar Khan would operate that way this time around with knowing that they needed a receiver. They were willing to live with what they had, because that their price and what they were going to send in return wasn't going to suffice what they thought in their mind is equivalent. So, you get Mike Williams, and your hope is everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. Now, does he bolster this roster? Maybe a little bit, right? Maybe a little bit. He's another guy, and we talked about the depth yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on today. But what you're really hoping, Crowley, is that what Russell Wilson has done the last 2 weeks is what? He's elevated everybody's game.
Yep.
And he's elevated guys' games that we didn't think could be elevated at all. Van Jefferson, a touchdown. Van Jefferson, over 55 yards receiving in the second game. Calvin Austin the third being a big-time factor. Darnell Washington being a big-time factor. Everybody that's on the offensive side of the ball that can touch the football, their game has elevated because of Russell Wilson. You're just hoping that Russell Wilson can go in there and do that for a guy like Mike Williams, who has a very, very high pedigree coming off of an injury last year, but still can go out there and ball. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do that because he wasn't interested in doing that.
He wasn't interested, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers, at least what we've seen from him, is as good as the Russell Wilson we've seen through 2 weeks.
No.
Aaron wants to do his own thing.
Yes.
Russ fits perfectly with this offense. I agree with everything you said. The Steelers also, frankly, hampered because of the Justin Fields trade. You can't give up your sixth. You can't give up your fourth just in case. So you had the fifth and the seventh available to trade unless you want to go into next year's draft. And teams might not be interested in that. So you had a fifth and a seventh, and guess what they did? They traded the fifth and the seventh. And so then let's get to Preston Smith, too. I like that move.
Yeah.
You give up nothing. A seventh-round pick, and there have been good seventh-round picks for the Steelers, like Brett Kiesel. Like, we can go through that list, but...
Don't easy with the seventh-round pick talk, all right? You know where you're going here, all right?
You know what? There's nothing more important than a seventh-round pick. I can't believe they did it.
Thank you.
I'm happy you heat-checked me there.
Thank you.
They give up a seventh-round pick for a guy that last year had 8 sacks, and then 9 the year before, 9.5 the year before that. I think he can play some end for you, but he is... Really, when you think about it, TJ Watt insurance.
Yep.
So at the end of that Giants game, when Beanie Bishop picked off Daniel Jones to seal the thing, you got 2 edge rushers on the field. Alex Highsmith was on the sideline. TJ Watt was on the sideline. Mike Tomlin says that can't happen again. Omar Khan says that can't happen again. They have given themselves insurance at the 2 most important positions for them on this football team.
Mm-hmm.
If George Pickens were to go down with an injury, you've got no dynamic threat in the passing game. And while Mike Williams ain't the dynamic threat that he was years ago, he's a big body guy who can go up and he can catch those moon balls and he can make contested catches and he can be violent, I've heard it described, Doran, at the catch point. So Pickens goes down, he bumps up, and you're in a better position than if Van Jefferson had to get bumped up. Now, if you lose TJ Watt for the season, you're effed, you're done, you can't pay a guy that much money who makes that kind of an impact, and you'd be the same team without him for the length of a season. But if he misses a couple of weeks, you've got Herbig, you've got Highsmith, you've got Preston Smith. You already have depth at quarterback. You won 4 out of 6 games with Justin Fields. They've now upgraded backup-wise at OLB,
yep,
and they've upgraded their number 2 receiver, but also backup your number 1 wide receiver. So they've guarded against injuries at their most important positions, or maybe not even their most important positions, but with their most important offensive player outside of quarterback and their most important defensive player. So I like what Omar Khan did.
Yeah.
And I like it better than what the Ravens did. They got Tre'Davious White, and let me tell you something. He can't play anymore.
No, he's smoked.
He absolutely is smoked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen less given up for. Like, they basically got him for free, a swap of 7th-round picks, so then you get Tre'Davious White. Like, he's not a good player anymore. The Bengals didn't get better on defense. They just got Khalil Herbert. And then the Browns became sellers. So not only do you view the Steelers in a vacuum and think, okay, what did they do? Did they get better? The answer is yes. What was available to them at wide receiver? Probably not a lot, so they did fairly well there. But then you compare them to the Joneses, and... The division rivals? Okay, they got Deontay Johnson, did the Ravens. That wasn't an option for you. Neither team got better yesterday.
Right.
The Steelers did.
Mm-hmm.
So I view it through that prism as well.
No, I think that they've hit it at the right time, too. It's not only did you create depth with the 2 trades that you just put down yesterday, but, I mean, they've done that with every position almost this year. I mean, even look at center now. Now you've created depth. That was organically because somebody did get hurt and somebody stepped up and actually showed that they could play the position really well, better than any, better than Mason Cole the last 2-3 years. I mean, McCollum has done a better job than him.
Man.
So you created organic depth there. I mean, at running back, you create depth, but you're hitting at the right time whenever not only are you creating depth with your trades, you're getting guys back healthy after the bye week that bring and bolster that depth and can be a huge factor within your offense and defense. With Herbig coming back, they created depth on the back end whenever they signed Terrell Edmonds. They have KZ coming back. Obviously, Cam Sutton is going to create even more depth, and then you feel good with Beanie Bishop. Who knows how that's all going to shake out.
And you got to think about Trice coming back at some point, too.
Trice is going to be coming back, too.
Who they had big plans for last year, didn't work out due to injury.
He had an interception this year.
Yes. I mean, they believe in that guy.
Absolutely.
And from a talent standpoint, he was much more like a 3rd-round pick than where they got him. I'm not going to say where he was drafted. You got to be careful there.
Yes, you do.
How do you feel Omar Khan did? 412-928-9370. Your point is a good one. The Steelers have 2 really good safeties, but 4 NFL quality safeties. The Steelers now have multiple NFL quality cornerbacks. Beanie Bishop has grown into it. You're going to get Cam Sutton back. They've got four NFL quality outside backers. They now probably have four or five NFL quality wide receivers. The Steelers have good depth. The Steelers are healthy coming off a bye. And now you see where it goes. This is, I think, and we'll get more into this later on in the show, I think this is as good of a Steelers roster as there's been probably since the Killer Bees era. And I think you can make a reasonable argument that on the whole, the roster is better. Like, that roster was really top heavy, and I would take Prime Ben over Prime, over not Prime, but the version of Russ you've got right now. You would obviously take AB, and you would obviously take Le'Veon Bell, and you would obviously take that offensive line. But 1 through 53, I think this is as good as the Steelers have looked in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it guarantees anything that make them better than the Chiefs, but in a one-off, can you beat them? I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you better than Baltimore? Are you better than Houston? Are you better than, name the team, Buffalo? We'll see. But I think they're as good 1 through 53 as they've been in a long time. 412-928-9370, your reaction to Omar Khan and what he was able to do yesterday. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Of course, Aaron Rodgers was on the air with Pat McAfee when Mike Williams became a Pittsburgh Steeler, so he opined. He told us about Williams' time in New York. We'll let you hear it. We'll react. We'll talk to you when we come back. But first, it's a Charles Borges fan headline. Charlie Borges fan headline.
Mike's a quiet guy, just kind of goes about his business. You know, Mike had a rough injury last year, that ACL. It's tough to come back from. And he worked his ass off all offseason, wasn't around for a lot of training camp. He's working on the side. But I felt like, you know, he was getting better throughout the early part of the season when he was, felt like his speed was getting better and he was feeling more comfortable with it. That's a tough injury. I had that injury. He'll be good in that locker room. Obviously, he had a lot of great veteran leadership. He's had a nice career. And sometimes change of scenery is great for certain guys. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers talking about his buddy Mike Williams. Nah, not so much. As a guy that Rodgers threw under a bus a couple times this season, I don't think just because it didn't work out in New York that it can't work out here, Doran. That is a dumpster fire. That is a place where sometimes careers go to die. I'm sure Mike Williams is thrilled to get out of there. Aaron Rodgers is calling all the shots. Aaron Rodgers has invited all his friends to come and play with him. And Mike Williams isn't one of his guys.
Right.
So it's not really surprising it did not work out. I don't think that necessarily predicts that it's not going to work out here. How do you see the Steelers utilizing him? I think it winds up being a bad day yesterday for a guy like Van Jefferson. Like, I think Calvin Austin III still going to get burned in the slot, man. I mean, that might have been the best game, probably was the best game of his career last time they played against the Giants. But Van Jefferson, I think, ultimately slides down the depth chart.
Well, I'm upset that they didn't do this a little bit sooner because, you know, they clearly wanted to get Mike Williams for a while, so why not try to do it and get it done last week where they had a week off where he could come in and be ready for this game on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how ready he's going to be. He'll probably play some, but it'll be just special plays where he knows exactly what to do, where he doesn't have to really learn the offense. So if you could have got it done a little bit, even a couple of days before yesterday, and he could have been in here and actually contributed this weekend. But honestly, I don't know if it does affect Van Jefferson. I think that Van Jefferson is multiple. Like, I don't think people realize that. If you go back to his Rams days, like, he did move around a lot. I mean, you had Cooper Kupp back then as well. And I think that you had another receiver that was kind of over Van Jefferson. Let's skip it. It's
Brandon Cooks?
Maybe it was Brandon Cooks, but Van Jefferson, he could play slot too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could move him around. Like, he's not just a stagnant receiver. He's not just a Z receiver. He could play in the slot. He could play on the outside. He could motion. He could do all those things. And then you could have Calvin Austin do that as well. I don't see that Van Jefferson's, like, rep count might not go down as much as people think.
Well, and he blocks too.
And he blocks. So, like, on those, like, you know, those third down situations where you have one receiver, it'll probably be him where he can, like, motion in or just be a guy that blocks on the edge, things of that nature. He can sift block where you motion in and you kind of insert through the tackle and block up on safeties and stuff like that. He is very valuable in the run game. But I honestly don't think that, you know, his production as it has been or his rep count probably is not going to go down as much. I think they'll just do multiple things with him and multiple things with Calvin, multiple things even with Mike Williams.
I think Mike Williams is a good fit. Deep balls, contested catches. Russ is really good about just giving his guys a chance. This is somebody that has zero fumbles in his career as well. Mike Tomlin does not like turnovers. He hadn't committed a penalty, I read, in his career, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, sometimes you, and we saw it in the Giants game, sometimes you don't set, crap like that, or you false start, or, I mean, there's hand fighting. Like, that is incredible to me. So you got a guy who's not going to make mistakes. You got a guy who can go and catch a deep ball. And you've got a guy who is also a willing blocker in his own right. I named all the receivers that that didn't get traded and that the Steelers just weren't going to be able to trade for, right? Cooper, Browns weren't going to do that. Devontae Adams going to the Jets. Those kind of things. The one guy that hindsight is 20/20, they could have had maybe, is DeAndre Hopkins. But I'm going to let this thing play out. I'm not convinced that Mike Williams can't be a better player than DeAndre Hopkins. I think they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have similar skill sets. They're both contested catch guys. I'm not going to say that Mike Williams can't be the Steelers' version of what DeAndre Hopkins is going to do in Kansas City. Now, that being said, they have Patrick Mahomes, and they've got Andy Reid, and it's different. Like, his number's probably going to be better. He also got a head start, 83 yards, and two touchdowns the other night. But I'm not going to sit here and cry in my milk or my coffee or my vitamin C I'm drinking over here, Dorm, because the Steelers don't have DeAndre Hopkins when I need to see what Mike Williams looks like as a Steeler. Yeah. I think it might wind up being similar.
Yeah. I mean, for the production and where, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is in his career, you never know. I mean, you know, we talk about this a lot, like whether it's quarterback, whether it's any other position, you know, a new scenery in the right scenery can revitalize somebody's career. I mean, Mike Williams was a top 10 pick. Let's not forget that. Like, the pedigree is there. I know he got hurt and he's been in the league for a little while now, like seven, eight years, but you never know. This change of scenery and this situation might benefit him the most. And he might go out there and just be guns blazing. Like, you just don't know.
You don't know. And actually, I think, you know, there was some passive aggressiveness there from Aaron Rodgers. Clearly, he didn't think Mike Williams was a good fit for them. But I buy into Mike Williams probably wasn't even close to 100% early in the year.
Mm-mm. He said that, too.
Yeah. It's just gonna take time coming off an injury like that. And the last 2 years, including this one, injury plagued for Mike Williams. But it wasn't always like that in his career. I mean, he played 16 games, 15 games, 15 games, 16 games, 13 games. So here and there would miss a game or two or three. But up until the last 2 years, nobody was saying, oh, this Mike Williams, man, he's always getting hurt. Like, that's kind of a new thing, and you hope that a thing of the past. I did hear one person describe Mike Williams, though, as a dude who you think, like, you watched him even when he came out of college, mm-hmm. and you thought he could be a guy who gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
because he has very little regard for his own safety.
Right.
He'll go up for a ball, he'll land on his dome.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go up for a ball, he'll land flat, square on his back. When the ball's in the air, that is his ball, and he's going to go get it by hook or by crook, no matter the cost to his body. So pay attention to that. But I do think they want to get Russ on the edge. They want to run play action. They want to take deep shots, and I think this could open up the running game. You've got George Pickens on one side. You've got him on the other. You might have Calvin Austin in the speed to burn there in the middle of the field. You're going to have to play two safeties.
Right.
And we've seen Najee Harris. He's been revitalized. The best three-game stretch of his entire career. I don't think this hurts that. I think this helps maybe significantly in a running game that it was already eighth in the league.
But it's going to help George out a lot, and I hope George understands that. I mean, I think that's something to talk about is, you know, where's George's mind right now? Like, George knows that he's been playing like a number one wide receiver. Yeah, keep that thought. Like, think that you are a number one wide receiver, but understand that this helps you out so much of having a threat on the opposite side, and you're going to be open even more. And even Mike Tomlin talked about it a little bit yesterday. Like, they know that, and we talked about it before he talked about it. We know that George is going to get double coverage, and teams are starting to notice that.
Yes.
Like, hey, we need to make sure that this guy doesn't break the game open. It's going to be a little bit harder now that you have a threat, even a name threat. Even if Mike Williams has, what is he, 166 yards and 12 catches on the season, he's still Mike Williams that had 1,000 yards a couple years ago. Like, well, you still respect him being out there.
Absolutely.
Even if he hasn't done anything this year.
No doubt. I don't think people think about it that way. Mike Williams is out there, and even if he's not the old Mike Williams, you still have to throw a guy over the top of that dude.
Right, and that's what Tampa Bay didn't do to DeAndre the other night.
Correct.
They thought that, DeAndre Hopkins is old now. He's not going to be a threat. Like, we got to worry about Kelsey. We got to worry about, even Justin Watson over DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, no, actually, DeAndre Hopkins with a good quarterback and a good system, he can still do this.
He's now, still burn you.
This week coming up with the Chiefs, I guarantee defenses will be like, okay, where's number 8 at?
Right. Let's take that guy out of the game.
Takes one game.
And if it's 14 catches for 100 yards and it's death by 1,000 cuts against Kelsey, you'll live with that, but you just don't want to get beat for the 60-yarder, for sure. There's this misnomer that that Mike Williams can't play. It's more that he hasn't played. So he plays 3 games last season. He had 19 catches at 249 yards and a touchdown in 3 games. He had 26 targets. So he could play until he got hurt. And this season, it just wasn't working out. I am cautiously optimistic that this is going to work out here. All right, there was a deal made yesterday in the NFL that immediately affects the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll tell you about that, and then let's dive into Preston Smith and what he might bring to this team. First, though, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. How do you think Omar did at the deadline? You can react on Twitter at @_AdamCrowley. I've thrown the question out there. I didn't want to give any options. I just want you to tell me how you feel like he did yesterday. I'll give him a B+. Get depth at a really important position behind your most important player, T.J. Watt, and then you go out and you get a guy that I do think is going to eventually be your number 2 wide receiver. Like, it's going to take time, moving train, things of that nature. I don't know how much he plays this week, if at all, honestly, the way Mike Tomlin does things.
So he'll be there today, and he'll get in. Probably already did his physical. He probably got there yesterday, did his physical, passed the physical. He'll probably get out there, do some individual stuff, and I think that he'll have a batch of plays where his number usually gets tagged. Like, if you are new into an offense, it's like, all right, like, we're going to go this formation, and then, around it, it'll say, like, 18 or whatever. And then he'll know that he has, like, 10 plays, that whenever that play is called, that's whenever he goes in there and he can go make a play, and it'll probably be, like, a deep shot or something, or, a crossing route. So I think he'll play about 10 to 15 plays.
So you spoon feed him a little bit and then just build on that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to have missed a practice this week.
No.
This week's kind of been a weird one.
Right.
Just feels that way. Steelers are off. Election day. College football playoff ring. Things of that nature. And it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll practice today.
Mm-hmm. And he'll practice with Russ after practice, of course.
Yes.
And then he'll probably be there until 10 at night with Russ. And then Thursday he'll come around and it's like, oh, this guy actually knows a little bit more. It's like, oh, do you? Arthur Smith's like, so we'll add a little bit more.
Yeah, you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Right.
Before we get into Preston Smith, you brought up George Pickens in the last segment, and I wanted to kind of suss that out a little bit more. We had talked about if they got Brandon Ayuk, how that was going to affect George Pickens, in that if we could sit him down in a room, basically, we would say, hey, look, this might mean you're not getting paid by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it is going to give you more opportunity because you're not going to get all the attention. So it's actually going to help you get paid someplace. So you need to view it through that lens. Well, this is totally different, and I think it can also be a huge positive for Pickens. Maybe even the best situation for Pickens, where you bring in a guy who can help you, but he's clearly not the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pickens isn't threatened. The money's not going to keep him from getting paid. Like, this is really kind of the perfect storm. If George Pickens could have been in Omar Khan's ear, this is probably the kind of thing he would have asked him to do.
Yeah, Mike Williams is on a 1-year deal. I mean, it's not like he has like a 3-year deal. He's going to be here for 2-3 more years. Now, he could. Like, if he goes and plays very well, I mean, you could offer him something minimal and you could still pay George, right? Like, and then you could probably go draft another receiver and then you're sitting really nice. you know, next year and the year after. So this is, you're right, this is a really good situation for George. He's still the number one wide receiver. He can, and he's just going to get better because of having that on the opposite side. Just going to be better for him. And
I buy that.
He should be very, very excited about this situation.
And you talk about maybe if things work out for Mike Williams, you throw him some cheddar. And I was just talking to Charlie Borges, our producer, for the next couple of days in the hallway, and he said he did a little deep dive into the free agent pool at wide receiver after the year. Not that we want to look too much ahead, but it's not super sexy. I mean, you got T. Higgins and then a bunch of guys that are hurt right now or coming off injuries or not that young. So, hey, if Mike Williams does play well and he stays healthy, then you probably would keep him around. Because
mm-hmm.
you look, it's Chris Godwin, whose ankle snapped in half, and right. Stephon Diggs, who's out for the year. Amari Cooper could be interesting. Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson, no. Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Darius Slayton. So a lot of the guys we had talked about, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as for Preston Smith, I'm wondering how much he'll be on the field with Watt, with Highsmith. He ain't a small guy.
No.
Like,
no.
I think he's...
6'5", 270.
Yeah. He looks it.
Mm-hmm.
He looks it. So I wonder if they could have him on the field as a... the end and have Watt and have Highsmith, and then you're tougher to run against, or if he's just purely a rotational piece at outside backer.
I think that's a situation where it kind of just, you know, it unravels itself. I think that he is multiple. He's versatile. He has the size to play inside at the, you know, the end spot. So I think as time does go on, you'll definitely see him and all three of them on the field. But for now, he definitely will be a backup. But now he'll play a lot. He'll definitely play a lot. I mean, learning a defense and understand that. I mean, there's only three things you really need to know: C gap, D gap, and you know, drop into the flat. Really.
So it's easier for him than it is.
Way easier.
Yeah.
Way easier. He's ready to go. He'll play a lot. He'll rotate in. But I do think that you're onto something. Like, you know, there will be some packages where they'll all be standing up. You won't know who's who, and then they'll just, you know, go and shoot into a gap and protect a gap, and it'll be all three of them on the field with Cam Hayward, and it'll look pretty good. He's a good player now.
He is.
This is to me, like, the star of the trades. Like, Mike Williams, I think is a pretty good piece, but this is, like, legit. This came out of nowhere, and this absolutely helps this defense out immensely.
Has 2.5 sacks this year, had 8 last year, 8.5 the year before that.
68.5 sacks in his
that.
Career.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me of Marcus Golden.
Yeah.
And what they and they've taken it on the chin at that position. They brought Golden back, he retires. Then DeMarvin Leal, who's more this body type, frankly,
yep.
He's out for the season. They had high hopes for him, so you did need to fortify your depth there. And you've got different chess pieces here. Like, T.J. Watt looks different than Alex Highsmith, who looks way different than Herbig, who looks different than Preston Smith. You can get creative here.
Yes.
Also, Mike Tomlin in his press conference, I should have found the bit of him talking about this, talked about the way that they've rushed the passer and how it's been different because of their lack of depth at outside linebacker. Like, when you didn't have Herbig and you didn't have Highsmith, you got to do things a little bit different. You got to keep things fairly simple. And we did see, now that they got a little bit healthier, they blitzed the hell out of the New York Giants. I don't know that they'll ever blitz that much again, but you can do more of that now, and mm-hmm. you can mix and match things. So I think they're moving in the right direction there. I thought that was a nice little bit of truth serum from Mike Tomlin yesterday. 412-928-9370, that's the phone number. We'd love to take your calls on all this coming up at 7, how you feel like Omar Khan did at the deadline. Coming up next, just how good is this Steelers roster? We'll get into it, but first, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. I blew off a tease already. Said that the Steelers would have to deal with a guy that was just traded for. Marshawn Lattimore.
Yes. Talked about him yesterday a little bit too.
Yep. Would have looked nice in black and gold. That was a pretty penny that Washington paid to get him though.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a Commander, and I would imagine he plays this weekend. Is that like D lineman? Or, I mean, it's more complicated than that, I would guess, coverages and things of that nature, but you could also just say, hey, go line up against George Pickens, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the coverages don't change. Cover 2, cover 4, cover 3. you know, you're going into nickel, maybe you're man-to-man, and sometimes, you know, that's it, really. I mean, it's not like, I don't know if they're going to play him at nickel or anything, but if he's an outside corner, he can go out there and play.
And it might hurt the Steelers in the short term, way better than where he could have landed.
Yes.
Baltimore was sniffing around, and they wind up with Tre'Davious White, who we've already talked about today, and he's just not the player that Marshon Lattimore is. I'm not sure Lattimore is as good as he was 3 years ago, let's say. In fact, he's not. But he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
That would have scared me had he landed in Baltimore. But he didn't. All right, so where are the Steelers now? How good is this roster? Are they? Do they have a gaping hole anywhere? I mean, I would have liked to see them get a D-tackle, something like that, with Montrevious Adams on IR. Because I do think that that's like an underrated loss for them. Didn't happen. I still worry about Cam Hayward, as good as he's been. He got hurt last year. He's not young, so you're concerned about what happens if he goes down. Now you're in a world of hurt on your defensive line. I guess that would be the one area. But elsewhere, I think it's a well-rounded, complete roster.
I do, and I wouldn't say this is a gaping hole, but maybe just a little bit of a worry. And the fact that sometimes looking over your shoulder can push you to different limits. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it is bad. And I think as a young player, it's good to be pushed. And I think that Broderick Jones, with Troy Faltano being out, he doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore. And I don't know if he's getting the inspiration or push that he needs to, you know, enhance his game and to fine-tune his game.
Yeah.
So it's not a hole because he's a starter and he hasn't gotten hurt. And I think that the offensive line clearly is getting a little bit more healthier, especially the center position. But, you know, I don't know what you could have done, and not saying that he would get benched, but like to look over your shoulder can push you sometimes. And I don't know if Broderick Jones is getting pushed right now as much as he needs to.
I understand that. And if you go out and trade for a guy, even if you have no designs on him taking Broderick Jones' starting job, you go out and trade for a guy that is going to send a message.
Yes.
It's another reason why I like what Omar Khan did yesterday, because the message he sends to this group is we're going for it. I like that.
Yep.
You know, they go out and they get Russ Wilson because you've got guys like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt who, you know, they're getting longer in the tooth and they want to win a championship. Or my God, they want to win a playoff game. And so you get Russ, you get Justin Fields, you pay for Patrick Queen, you bring in Deshaun Elliott, you operate in a way in free agency that you've never operated before. And we've never really seen them buy at the deadline the way that they did. It's not super sexy. Like, Mike Williams ain't the end all be all. Preston Smith, you got him for a 7th-round pick. He ain't the end-all, be-all. But you do send a message to your locker room and your leadership group, hey, we're fortifying ourselves. We're here in this arms race because we think we can win. And I think that sends a great message to the guys.
Yes.
Not that you don't believe that at 6-2, but hey, we're 6-2. We've earned the opportunity to get better here. And the GM, I think, did right by his locker room.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And right by, you know, Russell Wilson of giving him another weapon and seeing what he can do with that guy. And you know, not the biggest, you know, I keep saying this, but not the biggest, you know, trade that we probably were hoping for. But here's a guy where, you know, maybe Russell Wilson can elevate his game and he could be a huge component to this offense.
Fit matters, dude.
It does.
It really does. Now, this might be a bad analogy because it hasn't been great this year, but okay, you were going to trade Jake Gensel last year into the Penguins, and they bring back Michael Bunting. Michael Bunting's not as good of a player as Jake Gensel, obviously, but he was a good fit with Malkin.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't think that at the time of the Patrick Hornquist, James Neal situation, that the Penguins got the better player,
right?
But they got the right fit. Perhaps Mike Williams, and I kind of think he is the right fit.
Yep.
He fits what they want to do, which obviously is important. You're not collecting football cards. You're trying to build the best team. And you also have to evaluate who's available out there.
And you have to build the best team simultaneously while worrying about the future, too. And sometimes that gets lost on all of us. You know, it's like, hey, just trade picks. Like, oh, okay, well, we got to see where we're going to be at in a year or two right now. Also, we don't want to just give away our future for somebody that might not come in and be a fit. So we have to be willing to give away something that we know is going to hit right now. If you are in it, if you think that you're in it, if you're going for it, which they're telling us that they are, we're willing to give this up to get this because we feel like this equals out what we're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I
buy
that.
And not hurt the future.
I buy that because you can't trade your 4th, you can't trade your 6th. If you could trade your 4th, maybe you do have Darius Slayton
right
now. Maybe, maybe not, but you can't. And if you had the 6th-round pick that you could deal, perhaps they would have, but they didn't. So you have to think about what they have available to them, how far you're willing to go, who's also available, the cost to get that business done. Like the Seattle Seahawks stuff, probably a pipe dream all along. DK Metcalf, it's a lot of money to move around. Tyler Lockett, it's a lot of money to move around. And whenever they may or may not have just become sellers within the last 3 or 4 days, to do that kind of thing, probably unrealistic. 412-928-9370. We would love for you to give us a call on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's how that works. Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, you've heard us talk about these moves chapter and verse for a full hour. How do you feel like Omar Khan did yesterday? We would love to talk it out with you. 412-928-9370. How good is this Steelers roster? 412-928-9370. We'll talk to you after the break. Right now, we tell you about Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here! The Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High today of 69. Possible rain in the forecast.